Lore, Family Lorecana podcast, where each week we talk about playing Lorecana as a family. I'm Jen.
I'm Emmett.
I'm Malcolm.
And I'm Matt.
So we're going to start this week, like we start every other week, and we're going to talk about our league play. So this week was actually not technically league play, because the store that we were playing at was actually holding a championship round. For the top two players, like before, or did they do that on Saturday?
No, they played before we got there on Sunday. I saw the pack open, like they had already ripped through the entire box.
Yeah.
So the top two players were tied, so they played against each other for a booster box. The rest of the, they also passed out all the promos for us, and then the rest of the time was just a fun get-together.
So just a fun play where just playing the normal three rounds, and it didn't count as league play. But it was still fun, still like talking about how we did. So I did okay. I went 2-1.
Mm-hmm.
I believe I only in one of my, or no, I think all three of my games I played three games, like each one. The only game I lost, of course, was to this one over here. But I did beat him once out of the three, so he didn't go 2-0 against me, and I'm the only person I think that beat you.
Crystal beat me once.
Oh, Crystal beat you once. But it was kind of cool, though, because one of the people that I beat was the person who won the championship for the first. So I beat him, so that felt kind of good to beat the person who actually won for the whole first league, or the second league for the whole place, so that was kind of cool. And I am playing my a kind of new and updated Steel Song deck, and I am really liking it. So, Emmett, how'd you do?
I got the 6 last points as usual.
But did you have fun?
Yeah.
Did you win any games, or did you lose every?
I think I won against Malcolm.
Nope. I got
2 early against. I think
you won one game or something, but I can't remember.
I remember I played like two family members. Malcolm was the one.
Yeah,
I think I played two family.
You didn't play me or Dad, so. Alright, so
lots of games playing against the same.
So, Malcolm, how did you do?
I got 4.
Yeah, 5. No, it was 4. You're right. I think I got 6 and you got 4.
Yeah.
So that's awesome.
I got 4. I went 2-1. I 2-0 two people, and I got one. I lost 2-0 to one. So that's right. That's that conflict aside.
Right, because you're playing steel deck.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You also play. I kind of do. I mean, I beat you once. When?
Not
beat you once.
Not this past week.
Not this past week. You have in the past. You have in the past.
No, you didn't.
I was able to go 3-0, and I did win the event for this week, so that was nice to do. I also, I beat the other guy that came in second.
Yeah.
and we were both playing Ruby Amethyst, and so with a mirror match, I was able to get over him. Mm-hmm. And I went against him 2-0, and that was a pretty good win for me because I also was playing. I was also going second for both games, so go 2-0, playing second. That's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
So I was happy. And then this past week, I just couldn't get enough. I need to get out again and play some more. And I went to a draft at another store near us. That was fun. I was able to, during the draft, pull a legendary Ursula, which is great. That completed the playset. For us, so that was awesome. So that's the one where when you sing with her, you can then sing the same song again for free.
Right.
So it's like doubling up the song. So if you're singing, she sings Friends on the Other Side. Yep.
But or what's more deadly is if you're playing it with Jafar.
Oh.
Well, so you would get the Forlorn, but she's only cost 3, so you can't sing Home and World. But you can sing Let the Storm Rage On.
Sure.
Or Strength of a Raging Fire,
sure.
Or Mother Knows Best.
Yeah.
There are a lot of three-cost songs that you can sing that are pretty powerful.
Yeah.
But I did get a 4th of her, so that was awesome. And then I did end up winning, which was awesome, too. Not as always. I've been on a lucky streak lately, but that's definitely going to come crashing down in a minute now.
But so he ended up getting cash, I think, prize, and then bought some more decks? Or
no, it was just three packs.
Three packs. So we opened those three packs, and we actually got really lucky again, because the pack that I opened out of the three that he won, not only did I get
Jim Hawkins.
A Jim Hawkins legendary, but then I also got a foil legendary Ursula.
Just like what I did.
Our second one, which is awesome, because that is a big card right now.
Yep. Just like what I did in our drafting episode. I mean, opening pack of boxes.
So, go watch that on YouTube. Yeah, if you want to see us opening and what luck we had from opening
three
the new
chances.
Yeah.
Yep, that was fun. I won last night, and the store that's been there a few times, he did, and there were only a few of us that went to draft support. He did give us a few of the promos. I think we were talking last week about how we really wanted them in. So,
yes.
At the normal story play that we did manage to get a full set of the sneak set 2 pins.
Yes, we had all the pins, and then we ended up getting an extra last night.
Mm-hmm. Then we actually got last night. We got an extra of the Honey Wizard poo
this
pin,
is what that one
which
looks
is
so.
The best card in the game.
Some of the best artwork in the game. Yeah. The artist that drew this one also drew like that new Robin Hood.
The big one.
No, so the green one where he's kind of like lying on the river. It's a really cool card, so it's the same artist.
That's awesome.
It's just too
sense.
Bad they're not on better cards than we're using.
I know.
Wait, does he do anything?
I think he's a 5/5 that quests for 2.
Yeah.
It's really vanilla.
Yeah.
About as vanilla as you can get.
Yeah. But overall, good week.
Yep, for sure. Very good.
Had lots of fun playing. And hope to play again this Sunday.
Yes, we've got this Sunday coming up, the start of our first league for set 3,
mm-hmm.
and then the week after that is the draft, and then we're going to miss a couple weeks for like
the what, so, by, what, boys, what are we doing? Why are we missing a couple weeks to work on that?
We're heading to New Orleans!
Yeah, so we ended up surprising the boys for both their birthdays with a spring break cruise trip, so... we're going to New Orleans and then taking a cruise from there down through the Caribbean, through Mexico and Honduras and Belize. And we're all very excited. The boys have never been to those countries before. They've never been to New Orleans, so.
I'll tell you what gumbo tastes like.
So gumbo reviews coming up on Questlore. Just what you were waiting for. Lots of fun coming up.
Mm-hmm.
But today... what we're going to be doing, our main topics for today. First, we're going to look at some of the lore for Lorcana. What exactly are we doing? Like, what are... Yeah, Emmett, you had a question.
So, this is what we're doing. So, we are going to watch some videos
or listen to if you're listening.
Yeah. So, there have been some... There's two ways that we've been getting some of the lore, the actual story behind Lorcana. There is some lore behind this, some details about what we are. We're Illuminators is the term that they use. We're players of Lorcana. We're Illuminators. So when you see another person playing, say hello to the Illuminator, and then they look at you kind of strangely. I'm like, oh, okay. Not a lot of people know about it. To get the story, you have two places. You can watch these videos that have no dialogue actually in them that Disney has put out, or Rappaport, I should say. And then you can read the books that come with the troves. The troves, which are notoriously hard to get. So finding the actual lore for Lorcana is a difficult
quest.
There's books in the troves. Why haven't I been reading them?
Just the first and second books that had first and second troves of that book. They didn't have them in the third, probably because they were including the dice and the dividers, which were great. But they
dice.
Didn't have those books in there. They did have a video for it out, but there's not as much. There wasn't much as much lore released for the third set as there was the first and second. So, if you read these books, what you'll find out is that the world, there's a whole world that's called Orkana, okay? And big thing inside Orkana is called the Great Illuminary. It's this big spherical golden thing. And the Great Luminary is was created by the curator. We don't know who the curator is, but it's created by the curator. Basically, what the Great Luminary does, it captures story stars. Story stars are fragments of Disney stories.
Oh.
So it's capturing all these fragments of Disney stories and storing them inside the Great Luminary. The curator then creates glimmers using story stars, magical ink, and lore pages.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So the glimmers are essentially our cards. Those are like glimmers because they're the characters created from Disney stories and the magical ink. So we're using ink and we're using the stories to create the cards and placing them down, right? All of his apprentices that he brought in to help with are called the Lumineers. So that's what we are. We're Lumineers, right? But then ages pass and Lorcana slept. The curator and the original Lumineers are all gone. But then somehow, the Great Luminary awoke. And all this lore, all these pages of lore, went missing. And they got spread out. So they called upon people to collect lore so that glimmers could be created again, and those could roam Lorcana like they're supposed to. Right?
So that's why we're collecting
the lore so that we can create more glimmers so that they can live in Lorcana. Now, we're going to look at the first video. This was like a teaser video that Ravensburger released for Lorcana. We've got the Lorcana symbol. And then this person's name is Shanti. Right? So she's at this lousy karaoke or maybe a poetry reading. And she storms off because no one's listening to her. No one appreciates her artistic talent. And she runs into a glowing light. It's the Lorcana symbol. She wakes up, and this is the Great Luminary.
Oh.
All right. Yep, so that's a symbol you'll see on a lot of Lorcana stuff, and then the Lorcana symbol. And that's the first chapter video that they have.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe at some point it could be a location, right? And then we're going to look at the second video that was also released in the first chapter here. You get the Lorcana symbol again, and there's Shanti standing inside the Great Luminary. And it's leading her deeper into it with this device. And then that is Venturo and Martin. Yeah, it's like, here's Venturo.
Yeah.
And then over on the other side, it's just Martin. It's like, we used up all of our clever naming. So this is the device kind of powering the whole thing. This is what's using the ink, like powering this whole, powers the book. Powers everything in Lorcana. So it's leading her deeper into the Great Luminary. So here's this big book, right?
Oh, I've seen that.
And that's gathering ink, and that's a ink caster is what that called. So she's using it to use the ink and the lore pages to create a glimmer. And so all these glimmers are using the fragments of Disney stories, right?
Uh-huh.
So she's going to use it to create Hercules. And then she can now Hercules, her and Hercules work together to go off on a quest to find lore to bring back to the Great Luminary to keep it safe.
And then Martin and the other guy.
Well, we'll talk about what Martin and the other guy have been up to next time on Quest Lore.
Cool.
All right, so that is the beginning. That was what was released for the first chapter. So that is
so you can find that on the Ravensburger website.
You can find that on Ravensburger website. the DisneyLorcana.com, I believe, is the website that they use for it.
Okay.
You can find these videos and watch them there. So that's kind of what they've laid out during the first chapter for the lore of Lorcana. What do you guys think of that?
That's a cool story.
Yeah, I like it. I didn't know any of that beforehand. I hadn't read the books that were in the first two troves. So I think it's cool. I think it's very intriguing.
Yeah.
Do you boys have any guesses on who might be the, what was the person's name? The curator? Great curator. Any ideas of who you think it is?
I think I know.
So let's share.
I think it's the sorcerer.
Sorcerer from The Sorcerer's Apprentice?
Yeah.
Do you know Yensid?
Yensid, yes. That's what I was thinking too, that's Yensid.
That's the biggest one, right? That's going to be Yensid, right?
Because there isn't any Yensid card here.
No,
he
got his hat.
He just got the sorcerer's hat and got brooms.
And there's like a lot of brooms out there.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of brooms and his hat. That's what I was thinking too, is that, and then we have the location.
Yeah.
So I think Yensid makes a lot of sense. So again, we were kind of alluding, but if you don't know, Yensid is the name of the sorcerer from The Sorcerer's Apprentice that is in, actually it's in both, but from the original Fantasia that was made back in the, was it 50s?
I think it
40s,
was,
do you guys remember?
I think it was like, I don't know, it was in the 40s.
I think it was also in the 30s. I think it's in the 40s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Quite
a while ago. And Yensid is backwards. It's Disney spelled backwards.
Yes.
I didn't know that little bit of trivia. Yeah. So it's Disney spelled backwards, so it makes a lot of sense. It's him. It's also possible we may never see
who it is.
Yeah. So hopefully I'm sure we'll get more as we go on. So the rumor is that I don't remember what the fourth set is going to be called, but someone had put out a list of names for what the sets were going to be called, and they were right on Rise of Bloodborne and Into the Inklands. So we're assuming that list is correct. I don't remember what four is called, but the fifth one was called The Second Chapter.
Ooh.
Right. So there's a good chance we'll get a lot more story once we get there.
Sure.
Additionally, you can find story hints in a lot of the cards on the quotes in the cards. Some of the art in the cards has some story in it.
Yeah.
We'll be going over that next week as we watch some of the stuff from Rise of Bloodborne, and then I'll point out some of the clues in the cards.
Cool.
Because there's some clues as to who may have disturbed it as well.
Oh.
So.
I bet it's Mickey. No, it's Mickey. How he doesn't like the new... Yes, it's Oswald the Lucky Rabbit.
They just missed it on the podcast,
and they hear me screaming, Oswald the Lucky Rabbit, and they know they need to make him in the story.
Yeah.
So there's one... There's a clue that points to a very obvious villain.
Uh-huh.
It's definitely a villain, not Oswald the Lucky Rabbit. And not me.
Jafar?
Not Jafar.
Ooh.
Not Melissa.
Ooh.
Evil Queen?
No, you're eventually just going
to
guess.
Okay, never mind. He doesn't want us to guess, so we'll just wait until we get there.
Once I give you the clue, it'll be an instant. Yeah, we know. The next topic we wanted to talk about today is continuing kind of our Lorcana education series, and that is looking at what's in a deck. So you may have to, if you're going to go and play Lorcana at a store, at an event, with friends, the first thing you're going to need is a deck of cards. The easiest thing to do to get a deck and be able to play is grab one of the starter decks and start playing.
And they are absolutely playable.
They're absolutely playable.
Like, they might not win you a tournament, but they are definitely playable if you're just starting out. Like, it's a great way to start.
Yeah. But let's say you can't get one of the starter decks, or you don't want to do one of the starter decks. You want your own flavor. So what has to go into a deck? So, boys, when we're talking about decks, how many cards do you get?
16. You don't have to have 16 cards if you have, like, in mind,
Sure.
It's generally
60 cards is the minimum that you have to have. You can't have less than that.
Unless you're doing a draft.
Sure. Special things that's completely different. We're just going to talk about regular competitive play. But why do you think I keep all of our decks at 60. But why do you think that, why do I keep cards at 60?
So, because if you have, 100 cards, you might, not pull what you want.
Well, because what's the maximum amount of one type of card you can have?
Four.
Right. So every card, I'm just asking them, I knew you.
Okay.
Right, so every card, for any card that you put in your deck, you're only allowed to have 4 copies of that card. And so just based on probability, the more cards you have in your deck, the less likely you are to pull that one card you're looking for. So keeping that minimum 60 amount is a good way to ensure that you're going to get the card that you want.
Yeah, there's a few exceptions about going over 60, like if you really need the cards in your hand, in your deck, and you really need them, sure, go one or two over. The other exception is if you are doing where you're trying to get your opponent to discard. So if you are playing
a discard deck,
you're trying to get your opponent to use up all their deck.
Right.
So there is a whole new world, right? Mm-hmm. Causes their opponent to draw 7 cards. So 7 cards off of their deck.
Mm-hmm.
If you use that with Emerald, it has a action called Do It Again, where you take the action back from your discard pile, so you can just keep playing a whole new world over and over and over.
Or that new personal card. Although she can't do a whole new world, but still.
But playing that over and over again, getting them to use up their whole deck, so you win because they run out of cards.
Right.
But most of the time, 60 is what you want to hit.
Because
mm-hmm. More cards, less chance of seeing the card you want. You only can have 4 of each card, so you want to keep that minimum amount so you can see what you need to see. The second rule for decks, only 2 color types. Again, this is just for regular play. Only have 2 color types. And so let's go over and review those color types. So what color do we got here, boys?
Amber.
Right, amber. So amber or yellow, as it's often referred to, is one of those colors that you can use. When you guys think of amber cards, what do you think of?
My dad.
I think of princesses.
My
dad. I think of like amber. I think of cute, cute and pretty is what I think for amber.
Chaos colors, though.
Yeah, but I think of cute and pretty because most of amber, like the new amber stuff, is like all the puppies
and
before that is like mostly princesses and things like that. So that's what when I think amber, I think cute, I think pretty. Like that's what I think of because that's what most of the amber cards are.
But also amber is a little demon.
Yeah, it's Turnabog.
Oh, yeah,
very cute. And Turnabog's not the cutest.
But, and Malcolm, before I go into kind of like what I feel like the kind of theme is in there, what do you think about Amber?
I think a lot of princesses are in there. Mm-hmm. A lot of animals.
It does have a lot of princesses. It has a lot of singers.
Yes, a lot of singers.
Right,
so
that's where all the singers are in Amber.
Yeah.
And then it also has a lot of, you're saying, the cute characters also are the low-costing characters.
Yes.
So it has a lot of low-costing characters, like all those puppies.
Yeah.
And you have characters that benefit from that.
Yeah.
Stitch, the Rockstar Stitch, right? You get to draw off of him. Chernabog, right?
Demon.
While he's the demon, yes. But you get to play him faster if you've got a lot of those low-level characters.
Especially if you play a Simba and then he dies and then you draw a Chernabog, which happened this week.
Yeah.
And then it's also about healing and bringing characters back, right?
Rapunzel
is healing. You've got multiple Rapunzels in there. You've got Hades that brings cards back from the graveyard.
Yeah.
You've got Chernabog puts cards back from the graveyard. Snow White brings cards back from the graveyard.
Yeah.
All those things all happen in Amber. So it's all about healing and bringing people back.
I also feel like Amber is like a pretty easy deck to play. Like it's easy to understand. Like some of the other colors, there's a lot of thinking and understanding how it all works to get works.
Steel.
Well, but I was thinking more more like the Amethyst.
Mm-hmm.
Is like is a tricky one to play, or even Ruby can be tricky to play.
Sure.
I feel like Amber is one that isn't like super tricky. Like there's definitely ways to play, you know, play it well. Like especially when like the Queen, the Shiftable Queen and the Rapunzel, like there are definitely ways to play it better. But it, I don't feel like it's hard to understand the ability of the Amber cards.
Right. Yeah. So that's Amber. Our next color is
Amethyst.
It's the rough color in my opinion. Like my deck, my whole deck, which is aggro, basically uses this color and mostly only that color.
Mm-hmm.
Like we got Lilo, and it's mostly.
That's
right. Yep. We also got Stitch and Rockstar.
What do you guys think about Amethyst?
I think of Rush. I think of you know, I know it has a decent amount of evasives, even though I feel like emeralds and rubies are more evasive, but I know that they have some evasives. I know that there's a lot of like hard hitters in this, but I know, like, I feel like when I play against Amethyst, it's not very powerful until later in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Like a lot more high cost cards, but powerful high cost cards that are hard to get rid of.
When I think of Amethyst, I'm worried when somebody's up to 19 lore and they're about to play a goat.
Yeah.
When I think of Amethyst.
Oh, yeah, Amethyst Sneaky Lore.
Yeah.
Sneaky lore when I think of Amethyst, especially those Merlins and Madam Mims. Like
and Ocelot.
But again, that's why when I say that is, I feel like that is a tricky color to play. Like, you really have to understand all of the abilities of all the cards to play them well with each other.
That's how I play.
So Amethyst,
I think of it as villains because I think there's also a lot of villains in there.
I agree.
So Amethyst is used for two reasons. You get Amethyst used a lot. The first is card drawing,
mm-hmm.
right? They have friends on the other side. They
mm-hmm.
have the rabbit. They have the Queen's Tower,
yep.
Queen's Castle, all of which get you card draw. Then you've got the new genie card.
Is Pinocchio in that one too?
Pinocchio's in that set. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing is the bounce mechanic, which lets you control the board. It's known very much as a key point of any kind of control deck, because you can bounce things out really quickly and just replay them to redo their effects. And if you can master like doing that bouncing, controlling your board, and looking at the different ways you can play your cards, then our dog getting into the trash. She wants to be part of the podcast so much, but she can't learn. She hasn't learned English. I told her she can't until she learns it. Okay. So that's Amethyst. It's card draw. It's the biggest thing, and then it's control with the bouncing package of the man in Merlin. That's one of the reasons that I play it. Our next color is emerald.
I think of resist. I think of
I think of evasive.
Oh, not resist. That's right. Yeah, evasive. This is like I would say a good amount of evasive cards in Warcon.
And war.
And war too.
Like I feel like this is like the stop deck, like with evasive and void and stuff and no touchy.
No touchies.
No touchy. I used to play. No, I still actually play with this deck, because here's the strategy for used to. Bucky and Flinch die. You never quest with them. And people can't be, like, do anything with them if they're not exhorted, because they can't be chosen.
Unless you have a steal deck.
Unless
you have a steal deck, that's really it.
Emerald is for sure.
No, you can't do smash on him.
Because he has ward?
Yeah.
But they all die to Cracker Swords.
Sure.
So.
Yeah.
Which John doesn't.
Yes,
he does.
Isn't he a 1/3?
Nope, 1/3.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Emerald is for sure what I would call like the trick deck. The I'm gonna mess with your opponent deck. I'm gonna discard cards, it's going to sing songs in weird ways, right? It's got two new Ursulas from this one, the smaller one that makes you discard a song, and the bigger one that can sing the song twice. So it's definitely, it feels like it's weaker. Mm-hmm. Like, if you're playing Emerald, you kind of want to win faster.
Yeah.
It feels like, because Emerald doesn't have a lot of, like, what I refer to as, like, closers, things that can get you lower, dominate the board. You always feel like you're on a little bit of a back foot. Your opponent feels like your opponent can come back at any time.
Mm-hmm.
Looking at the next
Ruby
color,
attack.
Ruby.
Big people.
Big people.
Big, strong.
Big boy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Big boy.
Yeah.
Attack.
Big, yeah, again, like, strong late game for Ruby. So, like, a lot of people play this with.
Evasive.
Yeah, sometimes evasive, too. But a lot of people play this with
attack
something with attack decks because that it keeps them from. And they also play this with something that gives them a lot of ink quickly. Like, usually,
sure.
Like, you get a lot of ink quickly because of most of the big hitters need a lot of ink to play them.
Yep, or you're controlling the board early on.
Yes.
To get to these cards. That's
right.
Like, what I play is the Ruby Amethyst deck, which is one of the more popular decks in the game. And that's because you can control the board with Amethyst during the early game until you get to turn 5. You can start bringing out the heavy hitting red guys, right? You're destroying them out, you're banishing people. You are banishing everyone to be prepared. It is a, I'm going to punish
what's
you.
What's the new one too?
Madame Medusa.
Madame Medusa from,
getting rid of,
yeah.
What does she do?
From Rescuer. She gets rid of, like, any card that has
attack
of three or less, which for someone who plays Amber, that's a lot of your deck.
It's a lot more cards than you think.
Yeah.
The new Robin Hood, the Beast Tragic Hero, all hit for under three. The new
Rapunzel.
Pluto, Rapunzel, a ton of people.
Yeah.
Are attacking less than three. So it's a strong color. It just, you need to have it paired with something that draws cards.
So that you can get lots of ink, you can get lots of cards, you can find those cards you need towards the end of the game.
Yeah. And with this new set, it's also becoming like the location set because it has Jim Hawkins, which can play him, and then you can play a location.
Yeah,
and so it's definitely it's gotten a new tool in this latest set.
I feel like Amethyst and Ruby have the two strongest locations too.
They
yeah.
do with the Legacy and
mm-hmm.
with the Queen Castle.
Mm-hmm.
Those are probably the two strongest locations in
yes.
the game. And with Jolly Roger,
yes,
where it turns all your cards into rush cards.
Yep.
So.
Oh,
and the next card is
Sapphire. Can I tell you how I know these are?
What? You're doing
you
them
to...
from order of that. Oh, I see. That's all going backwards. Oh, yes, you are.
So this is the order in which the cards are numbered.
Yeah.
In the set,
that's why.
Okay,
so
when I think of Sapphire, I think of Lightning.
I'm like, I've never played Sapphire.
Does any of us play Sapphire? No. I would like to give it a try. Unfortunately, the only color that I've really seen so far to pair really well with is steel. And quite frankly, since one of us is already playing steel, it's hard for two of us to play steel because those cards are very expensive. And I can't afford another 3 Beast Tragic Heroes, another 4 Robin Hood, another bunch of these. So. But yes, items is a big thing with Sapphire. Do you know what? There's one other big thing associated with Sapphire, and that is ink. Ramping up your ink,
yeah.
Getting lots of ink
like
quickly.
It's got
Detective
Mickey.
It's got Grimmatala.
Yes.
Yes, and it's got that new Grimmatala card that gets you lore every time you ink something. So.
And the location that works like Grimmatala in Sapphire as well.
There was a hot minute last set where I did play Sapphire and Ruby. Together because then it got you up to the attacking Ruby ones quicker.
Mm-hmm.
The problem with it was there's only really one way to kind of draw cards in that set, and that requires you to have Popsicles, Glamorsham, and then a Nick Wilde as well to kind of create this kind of crazy drawing engine, and it's just not consistent enough. So if you pair it with Steel, though, then you get Whole New World and Beast Tragic Hero as well. That's what it's been paired with before, but yeah, it's about inking and it's about
items
right?
Mm-hmm.
Even its removal, 80s and Let It Go, they remove opponents from the board, but they turn them into ink instead of banishing.
Right.
Then we got one last color. What color is that, guys?
Steel.
Steel.
Yeah, so yeah. Steel, yeah. So I play Steel. Steel has a lot of songs.
It's also got the big thing.
It's got some heavy hitters that are shiftable. And it's got the songs for removal. This is where you're gonna get your grab your swords, this is where you're gonna get your smash for removal of other items. And that's why it pairs really well with Amber, with the singers, because like Ariel can sing the Grab Your Swords for 5, even though she only costs 3. And it also has the Holy World, which again is the part of the trio to, you know, which is great because it gives you a whole new hand card, hand of cards, but it also can really mess up your opponent if they have their plans ready to go and now you just wiped out their whole hand.
Yep, for sure. Steel goes with almost every color.
Mm-hmm.
It definitely works with Amber. That's what you're playing. Mm-hmm. It's been working well with Amethyst because they've got that Jafar card.
Yeah.
Get the lore.
Yeah.
They've got
played that.
Yeah.
That's a couple people.
It looks like it's starting to catch on with Emerald as well. It pairs well with Sapphire, like mm-hmm. we just talked about. It pairs okay with Ruby.
Yeah.
You don't draw enough cards with just both of them.
Mm-hmm.
Ruby, you need a lot of card draw. You need a lot of ink to really
yeah.
make it work. Don't get enough of that when you're pairing with Steel. Because mm-hmm. both Steel and Ruby rely on uninkables.
Yes, there's a lot of uninkables in Steel, for
which
sure.
will be the next thing we're going to talk about here in just a second. But we've gone through all these colors. You get to pick 2, mm-hmm. and only 2. You can't have more than that in your name, some kind of special rules. You're only going to pick 2 of them, so you have to kind of pick which ones work best.
Except for if you're in a draft.
Well, that's what he said.
Yeah,
it wasn't special rules, like a draft or a pack or whatever.
It kind of feels like there's almost 3, there's a kind of a line between 3 of the colors, with 3 colors on each side. I think you have Steel, Ruby, and Emerald.
Yeah.
As all cards that either attack your opponent, destroy your opponent in Ruby's case, or remove cards and resources from your opponent in Emerald. And then you have the other 3 colors are your support ones, right? You can do with ramping up and getting more ink quickly, Amethyst with draw power,
mm-hmm.
Amber with healing, and
just having a lot of low-cost cards.
Right.
Yeah. To build up your...
It feels like the best decks are going to pair 1 from each side
yeah.
to make 1 deck.
Mm-hmm.
So. And so that's what I think all of us have, some kind of
yeah.
combination of that.
Exactly.
Except you, which obviously things can be played. Any of them can be played together, but a lot of the decks that go long and are meant to be played for a long time.
Yeah.
But we mentioned inkables. Your next choice, so you've picked your colors. Now you got to pick cards that go in there. Get inkables versus non-inkables. So we talked last time we did that card and I showed that symbol for a card for ink, right? So you can have cards that give you ink or cards that don't give you ink. Our boys are fired. or at least before they get to play a few games.
Yes.
So you have non-inkable cards. They're usually better cards than the inkable ones.
They
do a lot of work.
Yeah.
The problem is that you got them in your hand
early. They're stuck.
You can't use them. They're stuck in your hand. You can't get rid of them. They're just there. They're taking up space that other inkable cards can use. You could have to ink cards you'd rather use because you need to keep progressing.
And the problem is most of the non-inkable cards are higher cost cards. They're usually 5 and above. There's rare, like there are some, like the new little Pluto is non-inkable, but it only costs 1. So that's fine if you get that in your opening hand, because you can play it immediately.
And Lilo and Wisp are not part of
it. Right. But again, those are low cost, so those are fine. But if you get, like I had before, where I had 2 Grab Your Swords and 2 Whole New Worlds in my opening hand, what am I going to do with that?
What
there's nothing I can do. And I
got
that happens with that happens a lot too with be prepared.
Yep.
With that deck, sometimes you get 2-3 be prepared in your hand, and at the beginning, there's nothing to do with it.
Yeah. One time in my opening hand, I got 3 Pluto's, then both of my children evolved. So. And then my other 2 was Mufasa's.
So. Oh, geez, wow.
So you really got to control how many levels you have in your hand. You have in your deck. 12 to 16 seems about the sweet spot. There are some that might use slightly more, depending on how you're using them, how you're playing. There's some that use less. Yeah, I think yours has less than 12.
Mine has about
I think
mine has half 16. My deck.
No, it's not half.
Not half. I think yours is like 20. I think mine's 16.
Yeah, yours is high because you've got a lot of songs.
And the Pluto's too.
I hover between 14 and 16, depending on what kind of edits I make my deck that week.
Sure.
So you want to stick around between 12 and 16. You can go less. I definitely wouldn't go more unless you really know what you're doing.
Yeah. And again, like, if you go more, you could just get, you're going to have more chance of getting really unlucky if you just have a couple early on.
Character versus action versus location. So you got 3 types of cards. You got character cards, you got action cards, you got location cards. Most of your cards should be characters, right?
Yeah.
You're not going to gain a lot of lore with action. You can take out some cards with action, but without characters on the board, you're just not going to be able to win the game.
Mm-hmm.
So characters, you got to make sure you have them. I would say usually at least 40 of them. It's kind of what you're looking at them, so typically at least 2/3, so around 40 of your cards,
mm-hmm.
probably be characters. And then actions, for actions, 8 to 12 is typical. There are some special decks that are going to have more. Jen?
Because I have the Steel Song deck, so I think I'm probably more at like 16 to 20, because they're all songs. But I have singers, and again, so you know, my Ariel or my bigger cards can sing those songs, and I don't have to pay ink for that.
Or you could be like me, where I have like 2 or 4.
Well, because this also includes items as well. So
yeah,
actions are songs or an action or an item.
Yeah, I only have like 2 or 4 of those.
Yeah, most of your you got characters because characters are going to be lower, and your goal of your deck is to get more. Emmett, your deck is mostly characters. I think you only have 4 songs in there, the Bare Necessity songs.
Me too. Yeah. One time I got a Bare Necessity in my discard. So when I got the Children of Bog out, I couldn't put it back in my discard.
Right. Just characters. Go back in. And then the last one is playing them 4 to 6 locations. You could also say the items, same as well. For items, if you're playing an item type deck, those would count in your action or your as location. It would count as characters. So same here, you got that last 20 that you can kind of play with.
Mm-hmm.
You could include them as either in place of location or items or action.
And it really depends. I feel like it depends for the locations, because again, if it's a location that gives you lore, like you could replace a character with that. But if it's an uninkable location that doesn't give you lore, then you probably don't want to be replacing the character with that.
Right. So locations, if you're playing them, you know, 4 to 6 max. You don't want to probably fill your deck with locations at this point. People are are playing to remove them, or get rid of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I always feel like when you're playing location, is this going to benefit you any more than a character would? Mm-hmm. Characters can attack other people. Locations can't. You kind of just sit there.
Get lore.
Hopefully get lore, but it can also just your defense get attacked by a character.
Yeah.
So those are the things I wanted to go through this time. The other thing to consider, right, is basically like how many types of each ink, of each cost of ink that you're using, right? You want to make sure you have 1 drop, 2 drops, 3, 4, 5. Figure out where your stopping point is with your ink.
Right.
Like how hard do you want to go?
Yeah. So like with my deck, for example, with my Steel Song, it's not really a deck where it's not really a big ink building deck. Like I can usually get by okay with only 5 or 6 ink and still make a pretty good hand out of it. Because I think my highest cost is 6 with my stitch. And I can shift it for 4. So that's the thing. So really, it's, if I'm not counting my shifting, then it would be my 5 drop beast.
Right.
My sad boy beast would be it. And so I can get by with 5, maybe 6 ink. Like, it's nice if I can get more, like if I can pull a, a whole new world and get more ink. Because again, one of the strategies for a Steel Song deck is to flood the board with so many cards that unless the other character has also steel that has a, a grab your sword or a be prepared, they can't get rid of all of them at one time. And so, sometimes it is good to have 6 or 7, but I don't need like 12 ink like sometimes some of the other decks end up getting one meaning because they have such high cost cards.
Don't you mean a flood of the board?
Sure, Emmett. Flood the board.
So that's how many you need of each drop really depends on the type of deck you're playing. I know there are some decks that only were like 4 1 drops because they don't really care about those things. They want to get the turn 2. Some that run, 12. You're running 12, I think, 1 drops. 16, actually, I think.
I think I'm doing 12, and now I'm doing 8 2 drops.
Right. Now I'm doing 7 1 drops. So it all varies. That really varies on your deck. You kind of want to pick your cards and build around them. Eventually, we might get to some how we would approach building a deck. But I think, quite a lot of one drops. That's your plan. So it's going to change each time. So that's our main topic for this week. So that ends kind of our main topic. So thank you guys for talking through that with me. I think that was really fun.
Mm-hmm.
I think next week my plan is to kind of go over, right, you've got yourself a deck and you want to go play with other people. What is it like actually going to some place and playing? Like, what should you bring with you if you're going to some place? Because I know I had that experience.
Yeah, we did.
I didn't know what to bring.
Yeah.
I just kind of showed up one day with my little paper counters. So we're going to go over that next week, and we're going to go over the chapter, Rise of the Bloodborne lore from Morikawa.
Yes.
That is what we'll go over. So we continue that trend next week.
Awesome.
But this week, before we close, as we do every time, I have the trivia for you guys. Let's see what you can do this time.
Okay.
I think some of these get. I think some of these are a little difficult, but possible for you to get. There's only one where I don't think you have any at all.
It's
good. So no choice. And it's the first one, so we'll get it out of the way right away. What animal is Diabol, played in human form by actor Sam Riley in The Maleficent?
What?
The Maleficent?
Isn't it a crow?
It is not a crow.
Is it a raven?
It is a raven.
Because I was going to say, I thought it was a crow, too, but yeah, it's a raven.
A raven, yeah.
Good job.
Good work, dude.
I didn't
know
it's not the raven.
Yeah.
It's in
that
one pod.
Yeah, Diablo.
Oh, right, Diablo, right.
Not Diablo. So, it would have been Diablo. You might have been able to guess that. It was not. So, thank you. Hard. Peter Pan is the leader of the Lost Boys.
Yes, he is. True.
Huh?
Yeah.
Obviously not the question.
No.
How many Lost Boys are there?
Oh,
I think about like 7 or 8. I'm putting it
7
or
8. So we've got 7 or 8.
7.5
is 8.
I'm going to say
6. 7 and 8.
The answer is, someone did get it right. It's 6.
Yes!
I know there was Cubby and the
there's
Cubby.
Bunny. There's the twins.
Twins. And, well, Peter fights Cat. Well, Peter fights look, Cubby does, but he does fast. Wait.
Alright, what is the name of the park in Mickey Mouse Clubhouse?
Oh, that's the park? Oh, Mickey's Fun Park. No, Mickey's Park? No, it's Mickey Park.
Mickey Park.
Yeah, I remember them going there in the Easter episode.
Everything is just Mickey.
We watched a lot of Mickey Mouse Clubhouse, especially the Pete's Clubhouse episode.
Pete's Clubhouse.
It's actually the Easter episode. And the Easter episode, we've seen that so much. I'm surprised with it being almost Easter season, they never watched it.
And now, cursed us.
Huh?
Cursed us.
I know.
Like you said, Mickey Mouse Clubhouse 3 times in a row, and now. Okay. Which character from the animated feature Peter Pan carries an umbrella throughout the film?
Oh, that's John.
Yes, John, the eldest of the Darling Boys. I don't know why it chose and had to like spell it out.
Oswald the Lucky Guy, Polo Connor!